Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins.
Oh!
An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher, on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for It Must Be a Tuesday, baby!
Let's go! Vamos!
Vamanos! Patrick Harris with you. Joe Fisher to my left. Jordan Schultz on the ones and twos. We do this bad boy every single Tuesday. Happy to have you in. I'm happy to be here.
I got to find other languages to start saying let's go in. That's my homework. Every week I'll have a new language on how to say let's go.
Ole. Does that count?
I thought that, I don't know what ole
what
means.
What does ole mean?
After all these years, that's I have a good no question. Idea what ole means.
Ole. I can hear him typing in there. That's hardworking producer over there.
And that's a broken keyboard, is what it sounds like.
My fat fingers. Ole is Spanish for old.
What?
That's what it says. Ole is a
ole.
Spanish interjection used to cheer on or praise a performance, especially associated with an audience,
old,
the actual meaning.
Old. Yeah. You're old. You are an old man. Nobody likes you. Draining off the system.
So yeah, it's a cry of approval, or in like other languages, it means old, like old.
That's so crazy.
Weird. I think it came from the ole. I don't know. But that's what Google says.
Google's I don't believe
an
it.
Idiot.
Yeah, Google is a lie. Science is a liar sometimes.
This is why I don't believe in science anymore. This is why I've decided that science doesn't exist.
Let's right, go, though, right. is the best, like, universal baseball phrase because really? It has, like, seven meanings. It could mean F you. Like, when you're at the plate and you strike out and you don't like the call, you could say, let's go to the ump, and that means let's effing go, or yeah.
Well, there's the famous Tom Brady, let's go.
Ooh.
The famous let's go. I believe the boys in the morning have that as a drop.
Maybe Vancouver Ford Texan can help us, but what I am also seeing is that it also means like bravo, like our team just scored a goal. Ole, like bravo. Oh. That's what I'm seeing.
Hmm.
Again, maybe our heavy influenced Spanish-speaking audience out there can text into the text line and let us know.
But you said vamos.
Vamos.
Well, it's vamos.
Vamos.
V is pronounced
with
like a B.
B. Vamos.
Vamos.
Yeah. I'm spitting all over this thing.
This is not like challah bread.
Hoctu.
Or Barcelona.
Hoctu and spit on that thing.
Yeah, I'll find a little international assignment for me. I'll figure out a new way to say what's going on.
But even if Ole works, Joe, you're still in Spanish, so you don't have another language.
That's true.
Ole is like six different languages. I think that one alone.
Oh, it's Latin.
Maybe the Portuguese use it as well.
I bet they do.
So the Spanish, the Italians.
Yes.
The Koreans.
The Germans.
I think there's a little bit of a... I think there's a little Slav in there as well.
The Mongolians.
Yes, yes.
Did you ever see that South Park? We were talking about this the other day. Did you ever see that South Park episode?
Yes.
Of the city walk?
Oh, yeah.
And the city wall.
Yeah, and the city chicken.
You tear down my city wall. I have to say city wall because I don't want to like...
in perfect pronunciation.
Yeah, I don't want to... I want to make sure we don't get canceled here. But I love when the wall gets knocked down and a bunch of Mongolians on horses ride through it.
You know, Jason Sakanek the other night, he was...
Never heard of him. Who's that?
big bald white dude. Kind of looks like a big old white Mongol. Actually,
from
that?
Mongolia, the one white dude in Mongolia, is he like Jesus in Mongolia?
He probably would be. He'd be like, oh my god, that guy's like a foot taller than the rest.
I always
of us.
Wondered why the Middle East loved Jesus, probably because he was the one white guy around. They were like, wow, your skin's not burned like ours.
Yeah, it was.
I thought Jesus wasn't white.
Yeah. Not according to Let's Go USA, USA, USA.
He was born in Kansas.
yeah. Look at that.
Salina, Kansas, to be exact.
Jason Sukanik the other night, I got a double dip of Sukanik. I got him Friday night for a bit, and then on Sunday. And I'm trying to remember if it was Sunday that he was talking about the Mongols back in the day. They used to ride on their horseback and cover their legs with like furs and pelts, and so that their legs were covered, and it looked like they were just one being, like
one entity,
part man,
part beast,
part horse. And so when they were right up on their enemies, they would just be like, holy hell, what is this? What is this coming at us right now?
I mean, the Nez Perce were like that in Idaho and Eastern Washington.
It's a good strategy. It's like, we're going to look so damn scary. We're going to look like something that you have never seen before, waving axes, arrows, maces.
They built a wall to keep those people out. You can see it from space.
I can imagine.
It's a city wall.
I can imagine
it's
they were
a city wall.
Pretty scary if China decided to build a wall that big.
I bet you the food at City Walk was really terrible.
Or really good. Crappier the Chinese restaurant, the better the food.
You tear down my City Walk.
I will say I definitely got food poisoning from one of those... big Chinese grocery stores.
Yeah. I don't even know what's a big Chinese grocery store.
99 Ranch Market.
I don't even know where
Do they have ranch in China?
That's the name of the store. It's 99 Ranch
Where?
Market. I should rephrase. It's an Asian market.
They trying to outreach to the whites by calling it the 99 Ranch Market?
Yeah, I don't know why they call it that.
Is this some weird Newberg stuff? Do I need a meringue on the phone right now?
There's one in Beaverton. There's one right off Hall in Beaverton over by the mall.
See, dude, I live in Vancouver, so my suburbs are safe. That sounds like dangerous suburbs.
They've got cuttlefish and duck hanging in the deli and stuff, and I went and got one of their like plate lunches for like $7.99, and I have never seen someone struggle more to put a styrofoam lid on in my life. Like, they packed that son bitch up to
Did
the
you
brim.
Know? Okay, I'm gonna
their elbow dropping it, trying to close it. Like, close it, son of a bitch.
I'm gonna take us on a completely different tangent and completely go somewhere else. Did you know in the state of Washington, styrofoam is illegal?
What?
There's no more styrofoam
Russia?
In the state of Washington.
Not a surprise. Very liberal up there.
Like the styrofoam coolers, gone.
Yeah, can't do it.
Yep, those once-use coolers that you buy, they're all gone.
I remember my aunt giving me an earful when I did that in Hawaii. I went to the store, and I was like, oh, well, I need a cooler.
You need a quick cooler for the day.
Bought a styrofoam one, and she's like, are you serious? How many coolers I have? You know how much of a waste that is?
Do you know how hard it is on these islands?
Yeah, basically. She gave me the local scowl, that's for sure.
Do you have to like scan all the packages to like see that there's no styrofoam?
No, because they come from other states that allow it.
So that's not okay. All right.
Like my Omaha steak present from my brother-in-law that comes every Christmas, never has steaks in it, is styrofoam. Last year I got an 8-pound smoked turkey. Hey. The hell am I going to do with an 8-pound smoked turkey?
You're going to eat the hell out of that.
We cooked it, and everybody was like, this is terrible.
That sounds like 1080 the fan during the holidays when the boss man wanted to tell you good job, give you a honey-baked ham certificate.
I'd rather have a ham than a smoked turkey.
I miss honey-baked ham. There used to be one near, well, because, yeah, near our old building, I think it's also closed, the Honey Baked
Ham. I'm pretty sure that's where those certificates were coming from. Yeah.
Hey, that,
well,
that
I haven't been to a mall in forever. Is that the only place you can get a Honey Baked Ham?
No, there was one, like, just in a little, like, mini mall, not, like, a real mall.
Yeah, and there's one over by Beaverton Town Center shopping area as well.
Yeah, I'm dude, I live in the safe burbs, not the dangerous burbs, like you.
I mean, the last I saw a Honey Baked Ham, like, stand that just sold the hams, I haven't seen... like a sandwich place.
Oh, we're covering a lot. We're covering a lot of ground on this.
I love me some. Hey, you walk up to that Honey Baked Ham smell, like you got to. He's got to get a piece.
Let's get the hell out of here. Oakley Dokley.
99 Ranch Market, Styrofoam.
Oakley Dokley. We got a baseball show for you tonight. A lot to get into as we're coming down the stretch. We got a lot of things, to ride into. More impact, couple players coming off the DL, who's more important to their team. Plus, we'll look at why there's no real dominant team in baseball right now, how that's looking with some teams fading, other teams surging, etc. We got contract extensions for players that were DFA'd. We got a lot to get to, but when we come back, who would you rather play? There's a couple teams surging right now, and they're not very far behind a team with a lot of money behind it. So we'll dive right into baseball and get this bad boy going. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader. That's Joe. I'm Patrick. That's Schultzy over there. 1080 The Fan. 7:15 here, Portland Sports Leader. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. There's the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They shoot you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. I got me a Bronco Sport in the parking lot that I got from those guys, and I can't tell you how happy I am with the service, the price, and everything. If you live in the state of Oregon, that is tax-free. We got a lot to get to. Juan Soto just hit his third home run of the night.
Whatever.
I've been in the desert for the last like 5-6 days, so I don't really I had to catch up on what was going on in baseball, and all of a sudden the Yankees and the Orioles are battling for the division.
How was the peyote?
Mescaline.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
No poison poison dart tree frog venom?
No, I'm always worried because it makes ayahuasca. Me poop myself.
Oh, yeah. Classic. Yeah. Who hasn't been there?
Yeah, mescaline just dehydrates you like an SOB, so the desert's perfect. But I want to get into this right now as we'll dive right into some baseball. Don't look now in the National League West, and I've used this phrase before. Objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. The Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Diego Padres are on an absolute tear right now as both of them sit 3.5 games behind the Doyers. They are both 8-2 in their last 10, and there is something about these two teams that just says, we have hit it, it's mid-August, and we aren't going anywhere. And for the Diamondbacks, this is without Christian Walker.
To expand on...
And the Padres without Fernando Tatis.
To expand on that last 10, I believe the Padres are 18 of their last 21. Yeah. They have been very, very impressive. Diamondbacks have been just as impressive on the offensive end as well. I mean, they had a great series against the Phillies, putting up a lot of runs there. And the Dodgers, and we'll get into this a little bit about some other teams and quote-unquote best teams in the major leagues. It's just they've been underwhelming lately, and they've given up ground against these two teams. Now, I know that they've had their injury woes as well, but they have gotten one of their stars back. But, yeah, blink twice, and... Padres and Diamondbacks are right there behind them.
Yeah, which leads me to this question. When you watch these two teams, you know, which one's the scarier one to you?
I'm going to give the lean to the Padres. I was looking at everything today. I'm giving them the slight offensive nod, even though the Diamondbacks have been playing really good on the offensive end. But as far as like 1-9, I'm giving it to the Padres. Pitching is pretty even this year. As well, as far as starting pitching goes,
mm-hmm. I would agree.
Slightly better bullpen for the Padres overall as the season goes. Lately, the Padres for sure, but just taking the whole season into account, April through August here, mid-August, I'm giving the slight lean to the Padres.
I think what's interesting is, Not because I'm this way, but it's interesting because everything you say, Joe, you're not wrong, but I lean Arizona.
Like, hey, they got the deep playoff experience now,
yeah,
right?
There's that. You know, we love Torrey Lovullo. Like, we love him. Like, we love him on this show. We sang his praises all through the playoffs last year. But there's something about it. Josh Bell seems to have a nice resurgence in Arizona.
It's amazing what happens when you get out of Miami.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah, you get to a place and you can go. Now, the pitching I'm a little more worried about in Arizona than, say, San Diego. But they're doing this without Christian Walker. Now, again, Josh Bell fills that gap there at first base. But I think the biggest thing for me is one of the future stars of the game is finally coming on, and that's Corbin Carroll. Like, he had such a rough season to the All-Star break and even most of July, and now he's kind of found his groove. I watched him hit a triple the other day. He plays great defense in the outfield. My only question with Arizona, I like them right now, but long term, that's where I kind of move with you, Joe, is Ketel Marte. He's kind of got this, like, Kyle Tucker injury going on right now where it seems like you should be out a couple days, and then all of a sudden Kyle Tucker's done for the year.
Well, and the other
and night, I worry if Ketel Marte is that same way.
Well, and the other night when he injured his ankle, he continued to play, then left the game, and then it was like, oh, he'll be fine. Now he's getting an MRI and sitting out today, and so I wonder if baseball is very weird in the sense of where teams are very hush-hush on their injuries, and a 10-day turns into a 60-day turns into a done-for-the-year.
Yeah, that's why I compared, him to Kyle Tucker. It's like, all of a sudden, Kyle Tucker's like, yeah, he's done.
It didn't look that bad. It was just on a swing. It looked like he kind of just twisted up his ankle a little bit. I can't imagine he's going to be out for an extended period of time. It'd be pretty you know, like, shocking if he was, because, again, it just didn't seem that bad. And the fact that he kept playing on it, you know, adrenaline is definitely a huge thing. But, if they lose him, then this definitely swings in the Padres' favor. And they just got Bogaerts back recently, who is having an underwhelming season as far as power running RBIs go.
Cost efficiency.
Yeah, exactly. As far as output, what you're getting for your dollars. But he's not terrible. He's batting .270. So maybe he starts to pick it up a little bit more. But, I mean, Kim has been awesome for them. Again, they don't have Tatis, but when he comes back, he's going to be a huge help for them. Machado's been super clutch for them lately.
That's the veteran on the team that gets you through bad times.
On the field and at the batting box as well. Even more clutch is the young kid out in center field, though.
Yeah, Cronenworth has been really good for him, but yeah, that team lives and dies with Jurickson Profar. I mean, how do we get Jurickson Profar an MVP here?
Well, I wasn't talking about him. I was talking about
Jackson Merrill. Yeah, the kid in center.
Dude, he's
I can't believe we've gone this far, and you are correcting me of maybe the most amazing player in baseball this year in Jurickson Profar, and we're talking about everybody instead of him.
Right, exactly. But Jackson Merrill, I want to say something the other day, he's got, like, the most game time or walk off home runs in a season for a player under 21, tied with Mel Ott and
I know that guy.
God, it was someone else. I think it was Frank Robinson.
Oh, also know that guy.
Pretty good.
We used to work at the bar together, and Frank. Yeah.
So I really like the Padres offense, top to bottom. Guy who's on the mound for him this year, Michael King. He's been great for them this year as well.
Yeah, and we look at some guys that are kind of coming on really strong late in the year. You know, I've been watching even before he threw the no-hitter, I've been kind of watching Blake Snell, kind of like, oh, he's really kind of coming to form, but he's on a team that's not ready to compete right now. But his counterpart on a team that is ready to compete right now, and that's Dylan Cease. And as much as Zach Gallen is phenomenal, Brandon Pfaadt is the kid with some flair. Obviously, Montgomery was the big pickup for them, but he's been kind of a disaster for Arizona this year.
Yeah.
Dylan Cease is, let's put it this way. If you look at the National League West, of the three teams that are competing, Arizona, San Diego, and the Dodgers, is there a better, more consistent starting pitcher on either three of those teams than Dylan Cease?
I mean, probably not.
Between
those three in the NL West. Has there been more consistent than Dylan Cease?
consistent. It's probably, I mean, you can maybe say Glasnow, but as far as...
Oh, yeah, there's Glasnow. I don't know why I completely forgot, like, my favorite pitcher in baseball, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, 1A, 1B between those two. But Cease has been awesome from day one for the Padres.
Am I really sitting here talking myself into the Padres? Is that what's going on right now?
Let me try to add just a little bit. I feel like you haven't mentioned this fact to talk you further into the Padres. Is their manager, Mike Schilt. I think a lot of the national media was confused as hell when the Cardinals fired him. I'm sure that there was, like, I remember reports of some sort of, like, disagreement with the front office or whatever, but pretty sure he was coming off, like, a 90-win season the year they fired him. And he's shown that, yes, he can manage a team very well. I think San Diego got him on the cheap because Bob Melvin had kind of left them lagging, trying to jump to San Francisco. And the team found a diamond in the rough that essentially it seems like baseball kind of forgot about, didn't want to give him a job for the last 3 years. But Mike Schilt has been amazing and offered that steady presence that you need.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting from the tingle, from Jace Tingler, to Bob Melvin. God,
jeez.
San Diego was teetering on, not as bad as the White Sox, but teetering on some really culture issues. Some bad contracts. We're short on money. We don't know if we're going to be able to pay players. And all, Jordan, to your credit, like, Schilt has righted that ship. Like, they seem to be like, okay, we're focused on baseball. This is what we do.
It was definitely at the beginning of the year when they made that Cease trade. I think they might have made another move where we were just kind of like, man, do the Padres, do they have delusions of grandeur and thinking that they're better than they are? And they,
is Cease overrated? Like, did you pay too much for him? Is he any good?
And yeah, I mean, credit to them because they knew what they had. They trusted in themselves. And again, it's a marathon baseball season. We've seen it year after year, and they're starting to hit their stride at the right time.
Didn't Jace Tingler replace Andy Green too?
Yes.
Which was another 3-year run, basically mediocre, terrible season. So yeah, I mean, it just further speaks to, like, the culture is right there now.
I think the biggest challenge San Diego is going to have to run in, or I'll start with this. The biggest challenge that Arizona is going to run into is when Christian Walker comes back, can he be the Christian Walker that led them to the World Series? Will Josh Bell fall off? Can Corbin Carroll stay hot? My biggest concern for San Diego is Jurickson Profar. Okay, this guy has been he can play any position, but he's bounced from team to team to team. He was on Texas, he was in Oakland, now he's in San Diego. But, I mean, the guy's batting .297. He has an OPS of .882. He's got 72 RBIs for a guy that's batting leadoff. Like, can he be this sustainable? Because we haven't seen in his entire career. That's my question.
Yeah.
My question is him. He's been their best player, without a doubt. I could sit here. I need like an hour or two to build a case, like a lawyer style. But I could argue you that Jurickson Profar, if San Diego makes the playoffs, which it looks like they will, should win the MVP.
Goo. Yeah, I mean, I'm still leaning Shohei just because of the numbers he's put up.
And Shohei is Shohei.
And he's going to just get the benefit of the doubt
regardless. He hit a bomb into the second deck in Milwaukee today.
Not surprised. What is that, 35 on the year now?
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, he could definitely be getting to 50 by the time it's all over. But Jurickson is not too far off. He leads the Padres in WAR. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see where he is compared to the rest of the National League. I know there were some people trying to kind of put in the nod for Ketel Marte in his MVP campaign. But again, when you stacked up his numbers against Shohei led like every category over him. I don't know if it was Buster Olney. I think it was Buster on a show a few weeks ago, but he was like, I don't know, watch out for De La Cruz over in Cincinnati winning MVP. And I was like, man, I can't remember the last time a mediocre to non-playoff team had an MVP.
The answer is the Texas Rangers and Alex Rodriguez in the early 2000s. I think that's it.
There's one escaping me. I feel like there was one more after that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
Did Miggy's Triple Crown, did they go to the playoffs?
Gosh, that's a good
question.
Maybe
it's that.
I'm really trying to remember because I feel like 10 years ago there was someone who won the MVP and I was like, oh, their team kind of sucks though. Like, they're not even making the playoffs, but they just had a stellar year. I don't think it was Pedroia.
Well, his MVPs. He had a good year. But
I hate that guy.
Yeah, that he hit like 330 and won MVP because of his defense.
Yeah, I'll find out. But yeah, he was trying to say De La Cruz was gonna maybe get MVP votes and win the MVP, and I was like, I don't know.
No,
it's just he's had a great year, but to me, it's Shohei's to lose.
Well, this is a race worthy of watching, if not the best race of non-division winners, and we'll get into division winners in the 8 o'clock hour. Who do you trust more, and who are you worried about? When we come back, though, I do want to get into a couple playoff caliber teams have some big names coming out the DL. My question to you, the listener, and you two here, is which one is more important for the success? And I think my answer might surprise you. We'll do that next, but first, there's Schultzy with sports.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk about a guy who was left on the scrap heap. He's actually playing really well right now and got himself a contract out of it. How do you go from being nothing to something?
Jaren Duran?
In about 2 weeks.
Oh.
This is a Jaren Duran free show. I do not give bigots a platform, nor do we talk about that kind of stuff. Unless, of course, USA.
I will say it is, I guess, lucky for other MLB players because I've been around locker rooms. I've heard the way some of these guys talk, and
it was pure locker room talk.
The hot mic's obviously not always catching that, but I'm venturing a guess that Jaren Duran's not the only one.
I don't know if I'm ever going to put on this baseball helmet again.
Yeah, Tom Brenneman might look better than Duran right now.
I think so. And Duran's a bigot. I want to make that clear. I'm not trying to defend him. He sucks.
That
He's
guy wears
idiot.
T-shirts that says the F word on it.
Yeah, right after? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Do you have an agent?
Yeah, and that's the most we will discuss that loser on this program. So coming up in 15 minutes, yeah, we'll talk about a contract signing of a guy who was left for dead. But I want to get into this. I'm very curious. Kind of this stays in a little bit of the National League West. There's a couple big-time PTPs, as they say, guys coming off the DL that are very, very much needed for their team's success. And I want to pose the question to you two, what is more important to these teams? And that is Mookie Betts coming off the DL for the Dodgers.
Yes.
Or
huge.
Whatever option two is, no, yes to Mookie Betts.
And don't sleep on option two.
Oh, God.
Option two is Julio Rodriguez for Jordan's Seattle Mariners.
Oh, dear God.
My question is not who's the better player. We all know Mookie Betts is a top 3, 2, 1, however you want to rank them in baseball. Mookie is at the top. But as far as team goes, who is the more important, quote-unquote, addition to their team, Julio Rodriguez or Mookie Betts?
You texted this earlier today, and my initial reaction to it
is Mookie, because he's the better player.
I was just like, what the hell kind of question is
this?
Yeah,
are you an idiot? Yeah, I am an idiot.
And then I went, well...
That's kind of what I'm saying.
I was like, who needs offense more right now? and the Dodgers or the Mariners. Well, the Mariners need a lot of offense right now. And so Mookie is just another gun in the holster, another weapon for you to have on an already dominant offense, quote unquote dominant. So a team that knows they're going to make the playoffs, more than likely going to win their division, and I hope that actually doesn't happen now that I said that.
It'd
I
would be hilarious.
Love to see, always love seeing a late season
they had to
collapse.
Play a wild card game. That'd be amazing.
But I would say the team that needs it the most, who is fighting for their playoff lives, is the Mariners. So I get what you're saying. But then again, let's remember, it's not like Julio was giving him a ton of offense to begin with. He was getting hot. He was doing what he does best and turned things on late. And then he got the injury. But I go 51-49 Julio just for the sake of what team needs the help more.
So this is where my thought process was. Freddie's been out because of his kid.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom of that lineup is terrible. So it's just been Shohei and Will Smith and Teoscar.
They just
Teoscar's
let go
still
of a
300
hitter.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They just DFA'd a guy they traded to replace Mookie, and then they were like, oh, Mookie's back, so see ya. So the Dodgers have their problems. Freddie, since he's been back, has not been amazing. I expect he'll figure it out, but he's not been amazing. So that's why I was kind of like, Mookie coming back for the Dodgers is pretty big, because Mookie is all reliable. I would say he's more reliable on that team than any other hitter, and that includes Shohei, because Mookie does the dirty work. Singles, stolen bases, defense, et cetera, et cetera. Switch over to the Mariners, who also have their own problems at the bottom of the lineup. But since the All-Star, or since the trade deadline, and Julio's been hurt, all of a sudden you're scoring 11, 8, 7. That Justin Turner and Arozarena and Cal Raleigh coming through and Victor Robles, that offense looks a lot better.
Yeah.
So it's almost kind of like, well, the offense is holding it down while Julio is gone. And to Joe's point, Julio wasn't playing well before. So now I kind of wonder if the answer is the Dodgers with Mookie. So that's kind of why I asked. Like, I'm flipping back and forth.
I mean, I understand, like, why you'd even ask the question about Mookie Betts. He's a perennial MVP. You got to consider his addition to a team. It, you know, that old moniker, like, well, you know, a guy coming back from injury, it's almost good or is better or, you know, as good or better than getting a guy, like, from another team at the trade deadline.
Sounds like a DePoto quote.
It is, but actually, yeah, exactly. But applying that to Mookie Betts is actually true because mm-hmm. he is that good and he's going to make your team better.
There's no Mookie Betts on the trade deadline.
No.
Yeah, there's exactly. No guy like that you can get except for the Red Sox who traded him at the trade deadline to the Dodgers.
Exactly.
Or they did in the offseason.
But when it comes to the Mariners, and it's not just their offense that you're seeing, but there are still, like you say, batters that are like at the bottom of their lineup. Basically, Scott Servais is being forced while Julio's out to give at bats to Mitch Garver at the designated hitter position, which that is a black hole. You don't do that. Statistically, the worst hitter in baseball.
Rojas, Rivas,
yeah.
Like, these are bad players.
And really, to wrap it up, Julio is, in August and September, the best player that he is in all of his career in those months. He hits .341. It's the highest batting average of any month he's had in his career in August. And then in the total month of September and October, he's hit 15 home runs over his career, mm-hmm. more than any other month. This is the time that Julio Rodriguez performs. So if you're just looking traditionally and you saw him getting hot before his injury, my bias is showing, but I think Julio's more important to the Mariners.
I think the answer is Julio. I think the answer is Julio because the Mariners are fringe. Like the Dodgers, if Mookie's out for the whole, it's like, look at the Astros right now. Okay, the Astros are on a tear right now. Bregman has come back to Bregman.
Did they win today?
They did win today.
So what, that's seven in a row now?
They won today in a hard-fought game with Tampa. They won today, and Bregman's on fire. And
hit four home runs in four games.
And Alvarez didn't do anything today, but they are doing this without Kyle Tucker. So it's kind of like that. Like, they're hot without Kyle Tucker. The Mariners have been hitting without Julio, which kind of leans me towards the Dodgers, who have been struggling a little bit. But I think the answer is Julio, because what have we said all year? Do you know the Mariners 2 days ago became the second worst batting average in baseball?
Not surprised.
Woohoo!
They finally moved up.
See, and again,
the Dodgers are going to the playoffs with or without Mookie Betts.
I hear you, but when it gets to, it's like, all right, making the playoffs, that's great. This team is supposed to win a championship. Like, they made the offseason moves, and everybody was like, all right, 2024 World Series champions, Los Angeles Dodgers.
$1 billion.
And with the Padres creeping up, the Diamondbacks creeping up, and we kind of mentioned it and alluded to it as far as the top-tier teams of the 2024 season, is that there's not a lot of separation. There is no dominant team. There is no one that is running away with it that is going to have... I mean, we might not even have a team with 100 wins this year.
The Phillies looked like giant killers, and they suck right now.
Well, and what did we say? That their schedule was super easy the first few months, and that they played no one over 500, and then what do you know? Once they start playing better teams...
I've been gone for 6 days, and all of a sudden Cleveland doesn't have the best record in baseball, and the Yankees are tied for the top of the division. Like, what's going on?
I know what team was the first of 70 wins in MLB, though.
Yeah, we'll get to that in the 8 o'clock hour. I do want to touch on that subject, but yeah. I find this, that's why I wanted to bring this up. I find this a fascinating subject.
Right,
it's,
now, Julio...
It's kind of like the best player MVP or the true MVP? Like, who's the guy that they really need? And I think the answer is Julio Rodriguez.
Right now, it's Julio. In the long run, it's Mookie.
Without a doubt.
Because...
I can't agree more with you on that.
You can't win a World Series without him. I honestly feel like that. That dude is everything for you on offense.
I mean, he is the first guy to win a regular season MVP and a World Series MVP in like 30 years, and it's some dude who's like in the Hall of Fame.
Well, and it's like, hey, can you play second base? Hey, can you play shortstop for us? Hey we're going to move you back to right field, please. Yeah. Like, save us, please. Yeah. Please.
Yeah.
Dude's unreal.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. But I, you know, looking at Julio at the dish, Julio's up to his old tricks, you know.
Bro, you want to talk about
Slider out, high in, strikeout.
His timing his first game back was awful. Yeah, I think he struck out like 4 or 5.
And Mookie's hitting already. Well,
and you want to talk about pressure. I mean, there is
Julio's got more pressure than Mookie.
For sure. If he goes this last month and a half of the season and just S's the bed, like, it's not going to be pretty.
We're looking at Kyle Seager 2.0. Oh, I'm joking. That was disastrous. No.
Julio's already got his money. It's the front office that's going to suffer if Julio doesn't perform.
But also, that's not entirely fair to him. Because the whole team has sucked all year.
Right,
but
right.
When they're in a tight divisional race like this, and they feel like they've been playing better offensively in comparison to what they were, and they're like, dude, if we just get Julio back, and then he doesn't give them that extra fire, that extra push in that off, like...
They're toast.
People are not going to be happy with the team. They're not going to be happy with him, and they're going to feel like it was just a giant missed opportunity.
Yep, to your point, Freddie is back. He can struggle, and they can still survive. Because Mookie is going to do Mookie stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Already, yeah. What was it? Home run, second at bat,
yep.
Back from injury?
Yep. And he's in Milwaukee now, so he has to stay in an Airbnb because the hotel they stay in has ghosts. I love that story. I forget about it every year until it happens.
Hey, it's spooky, all right? I wouldn't want to do it.
I love that Mookie Betts, like my favorite player in baseball, is afraid of ghosts. Like, so terrified of ghosts that he's like, no.
Hey, no, not taking any risks this late in the season, all right?
No risks, dude. This is August, dude. I'm not messing around. All right, when we come back, we'll stay with the Seattle Mariners. How do you get left for dead, and then all of a sudden, you got a new contract? We'll get to that next. Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we'll dive into why... We talked a little bit about this earlier. We'll dive into the lack of dominance in baseball and why this might open up for an amazing, amazing playoff run.
You okay?
Yeah. Pause.
Texting.
You got a Funyun stuck in the throat? What's going on?
We also might get into who takes the worst job in baseball, plus fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour.
Hey, it could be your boy.
My boy? It could be my boy.
Could be your boy.
Who is holding it down right now. I had a fantasy team named after him, and we'll get to that. Potentially in 15 minutes, we'll see, or in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll see where we go. But I want to get into this. I find this fascinating, and not because it's a Seattle Mariners story, but I feel like I don't see this happen very often. Now, in 2019, you know, the famous story of 2019 will be the Nationals had a terrible record at the end of May, and then broke off and led to a World Series win.
I think it was even into late June.
Into June, maybe?
Yeah, I'll look it up, but continue, sorry.
But Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg and even Patrick Corbin, which is funny to say because he might be the worst. He and Javi Baez are the worst contracts in baseball right now. But they had two studs. They had just lost Bryce Harper to the Phillies, but they had some kids. They had Anthony Rendon at third.
They had Juan Soto. They had Trey Turner.
They had these kids named Juan Soto, Trey Turner, and Victor Robles that all produced fairly well.
That son of a bitch.
To get them to a World Series. Now, let's fast forward here 5 years later. 5 years is a long lifespan in baseball. And Victor Robles was really bad, was not very good last year, and was even worse this year. And the Nationals outright let him go. And in the most, you know, Jordan, you can attest to this, in the most classic Seattle Mariner move, they're like, that guy sucks. Yeah, we'll take him. And they bring him in. And boy, let me tell you, Robles has been pretty damn good for the Mariners since he's been in. He signed a 2-year, $9.75 million contract extension with Seattle. There's a little bit of bonus in there. There's a $9 million club option for the third year. Have you guys ever seen somebody, before we get into Robles' effect on the Mariners, have you ever seen somebody that was basically left for dead, picked up by somebody, and then gotten a contract out of it?
It's hard to think off.
I feel like maybe a pitcher. Maybe a couple. Maybe a pitcher got it. But an everyday player, I don't know.
Yeah, again, like I'm trying to think. Again, it's just off the cuff. It's hard to think of a certain player that literally it's like, dude, just whatever you can give us. And then like, oh my God, you're our most consistent hitter.
Yeah.
Here's 2 years.
You bat leadoff. Yeah. You play center field.
Dude, thanks. Yeah, it's hard to think of a player recently where, again, they over-exceeded expectations.
I mean, there's the stories like Rick Ankiel, but that's more of a position switch.
That's a great example.
Yeah, like he was a pitcher that got the yips and then came back as an outfielder, started hitting bombs and throwing guys out from center field. And I think he played like six more years for the Cardinals in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. And let's be real here. The Mariners are on the hook for $4.5 million a year. Okay, this is not a bad deal.
It's such a Seattle Mariner.
But it is the most Seattle Mariner move ever.
Yeah, they hold a $9 million team option for him in 27, but they're not going to exercise that.
No, not at all. Not at all. So I'll switch to that. So it's kind of weird. It's kind of funny. But let's also get to why this contract extension is here in the first place. Victor Robles, since they got Randy Arozarena, Justin Turner, and Julio went on the DL, can I argue that Robles is the most valuable player on this team? I know it's only like 3-4 weeks, but the kid's been really good for them.
I don't know about most valuable. I would say if I'm going to lean anywhere.
Well, I mean, it's Kirby, Gilbert, Castillo, those idiots.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about most valuable hitter, I mean, it's maybe either him or Big Dumper.
Yeah, I mean, the dump is the dump.
Yeah, but again, as far as consistency goes and just getting hits, what a catch out there in center field by, I don't even know who that was for the Pirates, sorry. I'm trying to think. I would say it's Big Dumper, just from the power and the RBI he's giving you. He's not hitting for average this year. But Robles, I mean, in the 2 months that you've had him, it's just like, dude. All right.
Well, when Robles came up, when he was a prospect, when he came up, he was, you know, not a Soto, not a Trey Turner, but he was a highly regarded prospect that put in great years in Washington. It just seemed to fall off. Is this just new atmosphere, new vibe, or is this sustainable?
Sometimes a change of scenery is what you need, and baseball's fickle. I mean, you don't always know why you're struggling, but Victor Robles has shown the five tools that the Nationals knew that he could get. He's like 12 for 12 stealing bases. There's your speed. He's hitting for power. He's hit a couple bombs, hitting near 300.
Decent defense in center field.
I would say more than decent. He made two really good catches on Sunday Night Baseball just against the Mets, and then a really good catch a couple of nights before. So I've frankly seen him being the most, maybe not the best player, but the most complete player for the Seattle Mariners since he got on the roster.
Dude, absolutely wild looking at his stats over earlier this year and the last couple seasons. I mean, in 2021, he had a batting average of .203 over 107 games. 2022, batting average of .224. And then last year, very small sample size of just 36 games, batted .299. But this year for Washington, in the 14 games he played for them, .120 average.
They DFA'd him.
.120 average.
Like a top prospect, and they DFA'd him.
Yikes.
I heard one of the big reasons for his success is there's this new pitching machine that MLB just approved either this year or last year. I think it's like
technology and stuff.
Nerdy.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. It's like pitcher stat, but what it allows you to do is essentially simulate the motions, and you get to watch it on kind of like an LED screen of any pitcher in the big leagues.
Yes, I've heard of this.
And then you basically get any of their pitching deliveries,
arm action,
yeah, everything. Yeah. Spin on the ball delivered to you in the batting cage. And Victor Robles was going to Scott Servais saying, "Hey, Scotty, I just had two hits on this guy. You need to put me in." And then his first at bat, he'd come out and he'd get a hit against the guy. It's just really cool to see.
I was talking with a guy from Jugs, local pitching machine.
I like Jugs.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Damn right.
They have these machines now where you can simulate spin, arm action on pitchers.
Movement, and, yeah, everything.
Exactly. I'm like, that is, again, technology and stuff, man. Who knew?
Technology and stuff. Well, it'll be interesting to see. We'll keep an eye on him and see how that goes. Because if Julio's back and Julio can play, you put him in center. What do you throw, Robles in right if he continues this go? And then your outfield is Rosarena, Julio Rodriguez, and Victor Robles? That ain't a bad outfield.
No.
That ain't a bad outfield at all. It's just, look at the guys playing second, short, and third.
Real quickly, can I run through, by the way, the Nationals, they were 32 and 38 June 15th is what their record was.
In 19.
They won it. In 2019, 32 and 38 that's basically when they made the turnaround. So at around the 70 game mark.
And then Strasburg made a deal with the devil and they won a World Series.
Basically, right?
Quickly, the name is Traject Pitching Machine. Go look that up. Traject Pitching Machine. Right. Like, it's just crazy to see like what you can have at your disposal as a hitter.
I'm going to run through this lineup real quick for you too at the 2019. Yan Gomes, Matt Adams, who could forget Fat Adams.
Fat Adams.
Brian Dozier, Trey Turner, Anthony Rendon, Juan Soder, Victor Robles, Adam Eaton. They got all those guys at their peak.
At their absolute peaks. Yeah. Well, with like Trey and Juan as kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, besides those two. But besides, the way that Trey is looking this
besides
year.
Besides those two potential Hall of Famers, at least one of them might be a surefire. All right, we come back. We got a loaded second hour to get into. Why is nobody dominant in baseball? Plus, who should get the worst job in baseball? We'll do a little flippity-flop there. Plus, fair or foul at the bottom. You got a loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress.
Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you get out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good. I'm gonna read it. Dear Chase, there's stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that Fan podcast at 10ofthefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with Beerify.
I want to say the Padres right now have more runs than hits. I could be wrong on that, but
that would be a cool stat.
I think they got two runs and one hit.
That can't happen.
We are also on YouTube. You can check us out on YouTube. Check out every show on YouTube.com/1080AM. The Fan, you can find us there. Fun story, I will be on Dirt and Sprague on Thursday. I'll be hosting that show, so tune in the morning. If you're listening to this dumb show, you probably don't wake up early for that.
I literally just yawned. Yeah, the idea.
Just hearing that.
Just the idea. Dude,
6 a.m.
In my brain, I am like wrapping my head around about what my tomorrow looks like. I'm going
to
do this. Because I do not get up at 4:30 in the morning. And when I do, I like pee and then go back to bed.
Yeah, it's a good thing you don't have this show on Wednesdays anymore.
Yeah, thank God.
That is one thing about waking up that early when you normally don't. Your bowels aren't ready when you wake up. So then you're like 3-4 hours later, not anywhere near a toilet, and you're like,
Coming up in 15 minutes, who should take the worst job in baseball? Plus, we'll have fair or foul at
I'll
the bottom
do
of
it.
The hour. Joe will do it. I would also do it.
It can't be much worse.
I would also do it.
You can put it on the ball!
But I want to give Joe some love on this. My friend. I want to give Joe a little love on this. As Joe and I always show prep, we kind of talk to each other on Tuesdays and kind of say, "What are you thinking? You know, what do you got? You know, da 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 da." I always give him a few.
I was ghosting you like a Tinder date,
and Joe was ghosting me all day. And then I was worried that he was like out of service and he was like skipping this week, and I had forgotten. Which then I was terrified because I was like, "I got nothing for this show." And then Joe showed up. Out of nowhere with some really great stuff. And you brought up a great point. We're kind of looking as we are here in mid-August and we're coming down the playoff stretch. And we've kind of talked about this all show and I kind of teased it. Like I was off the grid for about 5 days and I came back and I noticed the Yanks and the Orioles were tied for first place in the East. And Cleveland all of a sudden didn't have the best record in baseball. And the Phillies had gone on a terrible losing streak. And San Diego and Arizona are catching up. And you kind of talked to me about the lack of dominance in Major League Baseball this season.
Just seems like we always have one or two teams that just are a cut above the rest. I mean, it seems like it's been the Astros for the last 10 years.
And what's funny is they don't always win the World Series, but there's always somebody.
Yeah, and there's always that kind of regular season dominance. And it just seems like right now, at this point in the season, we're hitting this weird stride where the teams that are leading their divisions or the quote-unquote best teams in the league are not playing like it. My Orioles are not playing like the best team in the American League. The Yankees have not been playing like the best team in the American League for a while now. the Cleveland Guardians. They have lost their lead a little bit against the Minnesota Twins. I want to say that they won the, because it was a four-game split. I think that they split the two games apiece, and now their division lead is at 3.5, where earlier this year it was much higher than that. I mean, it was more so.
Cleveland's 3.5 up on Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, that can flip in a week. I mean, how many games
they're
above?
Four and six in their last 10.
How many games above the Royals are they? Like 4.5, 5.5? Somewhere?
Royals are six back.
Six back? Okay, gotcha. And then, I mean, the West is the West. We know what's going on there. But you flip over to the National League. The only team that is really surging in the National League as far as those top teams goes is the Brewers. They're playing a lot better.
Mm-hmm. They have 7.5 game lead over St. Louis.
Yes, and that division outside of them, it seems like nobody wants to go to the playoffs from that division. The Cardinals did for a while, and then the Reds did, and then the Pirates wanted to, and then they decided they wanted to lose 9 games in a row.
I've been watching baseball for 30 years. If you play in the Central, nobody wants to win the division.
My God. And then the NL East, it's like the Phillies, they are still running away with that division for the most part. I think an 8-game lead there.
6.5.
See? I mean, like, the fact that it's not at least 8 games with the way that their season started, I mean, they went on, they had like a 6-game losing streak last week.
The Braves are 3-7 of their last 10, but the Phillies are 4-6.
They just lost the series to the Diamondbacks.
Yep. They did in the playoffs last year.
The Braves, woof.
Oof. Boy, talk about a loaded team that I want nothing to be a part of.
Also, like, talk about a team where it's like, yay, you made the playoffs. Like, at this point, it's like, just put, you know, we're good.
Have you seen?
we'll skip these playoffs.
Have you seen Matt Olson's numbers lately?
Oh, we're batting like 220, yeah, 215, something like that. Nope.
Ouch.
No, I mean, RBIs.
He hit two seasons worth of homers last year. Oof. So.
And then the Dodgers, we talked about it earlier in the show, is they have lost their lead against the Diamondbacks and Padres. Now it's more so, Diamondbacks and Padres. It's because they've been playing a lot better, and Diamondbacks have been middling a little bit. They've missed Mookie. They were without Freddie Freeman. Yoshi went down. And they got some new additions to help bolster the team, but Kiermaier does nothing for them offensively.
Absolutely nothing.
It's been super weird. And then I went through just the last couple of seasons as far as like teams that had the best records over the last few years. And at this point, over the last few seasons, so last year, the Braves were 34 games above 500. The best team in MLB record-wise this year, right now, is only 21 games above 500.
Yeah.
Orioles last year, they were 28 games above 500. 2 years ago in 2022, on this date, the Astros were 33 games above 500. The Dodgers were 46 games above 500. And then 2021, the Giants, they were the best team record-wise in MLB, which seems like a lifetime ago.
Which is hilarious because they completely lost it.
Yeah, 34 games above 500 at that point. So again, it just seems like this year, there is no dominant team, even though there should have been, with all the spending the Dodgers did. The Orioles coming into this scene probably felt really good as far as their lineup went. Pitching, much to be desired, but they've had a lot of injuries on the pitching side. Again, it's just like, and we didn't know what was going to happen with the Central. It's just maybe the crappier teams have just won a lot more games than we anticipated, mm-hmm. and that's where it's kind of evening things out. But it really just feels like none of these teams are separating themselves right
now.
Yeah,
and I think when we look forward to try to think, you know, it's hard to predict. We're still in mid-August. It's kind of easier when you get into September. But if you look at it, Yankees and Orioles, extremely inconsistent.
Yes, since the All-Star break, the Orioles have been maddening.
Cleveland of late has been a little sketchy. The Phillies, the Braves, I mean, the Mets are desperate. Like, I watch them play baseball, and that is some of the most desperate baseball I've ever seen. Like, bringing in relievers, like, when you're down 3 that you bring in when you're up 1. You know, like, that's desperate baseball. Dodgers haven't been good. But then you look at teams like Houston, who are coming on like gangbusters. You're looking at, we talked in the first segment, or the second segment, about Arizona and San Diego. Who's the division leader that you're most worried about when you're looking at LA? I would say the Dodgers. I'll give Houston because they're a game and a half up on Seattle. Cleveland.
or Yankees Orioles? Like, what's one of those teams that you are most concerned about coming through to the end?
My Orioles have been scaring me lately because of the pitching health. Grayson Rodriguez just went down.
Starters are rough in Baltimore.
It's like, dude, yeah, I don't know what's in the water over there. It's really scaring me because they'll have a great game offensively one day, and then the next they'll just give up 7 to 9 runs. The Orioles are scaring me. The Dodgers, I feel like they're getting people back.
Kershaw
just came back. Yep.
Yamamoto should be back soonish.
Yeah, we'll see about that. So that I have a little bit more faith in them, and also, like, dude, yeah, as long as they have Shohei, it seems like they're just, like, unstoppable. That dude is just hitting a home run every other night, it seems like. I would say that Cleveland, just because, I mean, we didn't think they were going to be this good at the beginning of the season.
I thought they'd be okay. Yeah. Nobody thought they'd be good.
Yeah.
Great, potentially.
And Minnesota is starting to come on strong. Kansas City is starting to play really well. I wonder if, like, that division is going to beat itself up, and maybe. But then again, it's like Minnesota late season playoffs. Like, when have they given you an inspired any confidence? It's crazy to think that Milwaukee right now is playing the best baseball and they don't win anything in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, is that, imagine Milwaukee coming out of the National League this year.
Well, I feel like, okay, so you look like Yankees and Baltimore are 1-2, okay, but they're up 6.5 on the Red Sox. Cleveland is first, but they're up 3.5. Astros are up 1.5. Phillies are up 6.5, but the Braves have talent.
They're not. You know.
Dodgers are up 4, waiting on the results of games tonight. But the Brewers are up 7.5. They feel like the most lock.
And they just play.
To go to the playoffs. They feel like the biggest lock.
We'll see.
Well, not to go to the playoffs, but to win their division.
Yeah, I would say that is a lock for winning the division is the Brewers. Like, the way that they're playing and the rest of that division has played this year, everybody's just been so damn inconsistent, and they haven't been.
There's just so much fringe.
Good for them.
There's just so much fringe. If Cleveland's bullpen, which might be the best bullpen in baseball, if they blow a game, that hurts, okay? If Soto and Judge don't hit, boom, that hurts. If Burns isn't on the mound and Orioles get hit, boom, that hurts. George Kirby went on the mound today and gave up 11 runs in 4 innings. Boom, that kills the Mariners. Like, it feels, to your point, Joe, it feels like the margin, like having that random Tuesday game against a team you should beat, that if you lose, it's more detrimental than it should be. Like, the Astros grinded out a game today against Tampa, and the Mariners got blown out by Detroit and with Kirby on the mound, and that's like, oh, ooh, that hurts.
Yeah, the celebration from Sunday Night Baseball definitely
yeah,
that wore off quickly.
Yeah, yeah. So to your point, wow, it's wild. Like, if you had to tell me right now who's the best team in baseball, I don't have an answer.
I don't either. I guess I would lean Dodgers, but just only because they're getting
Shohei and Glasnow.
But they're getting healthier. But again, the best team in baseball over the last month has been the Padres.
Yes.
So, and once we get to October, man, God only knows what's going to happen then.
Buckle up.
Dude, with the way things are playing out right now, I'm getting very excited for the postseason.
Well, Texas won a World Series last year because we were basically in the same situation we are now. Records just didn't show it.
Yeah.
So it's who's going to get hot.
Yep.
So that's what we'll have to watch for. All right, coming up after this, we'll dive into, is there, who wants this? Who wants potentially the worst job in baseball? And could an old crime, an old scorned lover be back in this? Or should you give it to the kid? We'll do that next. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Schultzy on the ones and twos. 1080 The Fan. We'll see you in 3 weeks at the Gorge, my friend. Boy, I can't wait. This should be a good year at the Gorge.
Ooh, I'm excited. I got to get tickets to that.
You going to Dave?
I'm going to Dave.
You're going to Dave?
My wife and I put it on the calendar like 2 months ago. We're going, baby.
Oh, wow.
We got to go up, have a drink.
That's my 18th year in a row, so.
Yeah, maybe
this is our first.
A fentanyl-laced joint while you're at it.
No, actually, I had a buddy that had a fentanyl-laced joint once.
That's what I'm saying.
Man, just smoke
your own. Wasn't it at Dave?
Yeah, it was at Dave.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, smoke your own stuff.
Come on. Yeah.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite, as we do at the bottom at 8 o'clock hour every Tuesday. But I want to get into this. You know, there's a lot of...
Nah, we ain't taking that.
You know what's
White Sox.
You took it 21 times.
You know what's funny is I keep looking back at the beginning of the season and kind of some things we said. I am very happy, and I've been bragging to my baseball friends about, now I wasn't completely right, but I was not wrong that Kansas City is pretty good. You guys remember I sat here with you at the beginning of the year. Kansas City is pretty good, and it wasn't a Bobby Witt thing. It was I liked the additions they made to the team. Sal Perez is at a career year. The bullpen is nice. Seth Lugo has been amazing, although he got completely torched tonight. Thank you for my fantasy team.
Cole Reagans.
But there is nothing we saw. We've talked about this for weeks and weeks and weeks, how bad the White Sox have been. I'll ask the first question. Are you shocked that Pedro got fired?
No.
I was a little surprised.
Really?
Because why didn't you do it 3 weeks ago?
Why did you hire him in the first place?
Exactly.
It's at this point, I think you heard something in the interview you wanted to hear, and after a year and a half of futility, a change has to be made or the fans are just going to riot.
I was surprised that he got fired because this...
Was this his second or third
second year?
It's his second...
He took over for Tony La Russa,
For La Russa.
Listen, we know the team is bad talent-wise, but there has to be something to be said, like, you shouldn't be, like, this terrible.
This bad.
Like, there is a point of, like, where something managerial comes into play to be able to alleviate some of this, and it just seemed like he was very much just, like, arms up, like, I don't know. Team's lost, season's lost, I don't know what to tell you guys at this point. Let's just, you know... was it Bahamas on three, Galveston on three, 1, 2, 3, and like, so
that dirty ass water.
I
wish I had that drop. I would have clicked it right there.
I don't know if like the White Sox front office and Reinsdorf or whoever's calling the shots, because again, they fired some of their longtime GM. I forget the names of the two guys that were running things.
Well, let's not forget. I mean, 3 years ago,
I think Ken Williams or something like
Kenny
that.
Kenny Williams.
Yeah.
He was there for a long time. I mean, in 2019, when they dealt Aaron Rowan to the Nationals, they got Lucas Giolito. They dealt Chris Sale to the Red Sox. They got Yoan Moncada. They drafted Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, Tim Anderson won two batting titles. They looked like we're building a monster. And then Dylan Cease, you know, they looked like they were building a monster. And then something happened down the road where it completely fell apart.
Why am I spacing on who the manager was before Pedro Greifel?
Tony La Russa.
It was Tony La Russa.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because remember, that I think is the...
You probably just said that.
There is a moment where I think was the signal that we didn't notice. We laughed because we thought it was a social media gaffe. Remember, they were going to hire AJ Hinch.
Oh, yeah.
And when they hired Tony La Russa, they put out a tweet that said, congratulations, AJ Hinch, next manager of Chicago White Sox.
Did they really?
Yes, but it was Tony La Russa.
Well, there was
and we kind of laughed that someone's getting fired, blah, 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 the intern sucks, blah, 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 blah.
Well, there's your omen right there.
But that's when it turned. That's when everything fell apart. Tim Anderson won two batting titles in a row. 2 years later, is out of the league.
Well, and everybody also thought it was a joke of a hire with La Russa, and then he went and got popped for a Dewey.
Yeah.
And it was just
don't
like,
you know who I am? Yeah,
ABZYX.
Yeah. It's like, dear God, man. So, what a cluster F that was.
So I started looking at who could be potential replacements. Who could be the next full-time manager of the Chicago White Sox?
Where do I sign?
I found a list. Number one, Joseph Fisher IV.
Whoa!
You got skipped. Medium Joe was higher on the list.
You know, I'm somewhat disappointed father playing MLB The Show in front of him lately because he's asking me a lot of basic baseball questions.
You're like, are you an idiot?
Is there such thing as a quadruple play?
I at least slap
Dude,
you?
I'm like, are you serious right now? You're like, killing me, Smalls.
How does that even... Okay.
The first name on the list, funny enough, is Skip Schumacher.
Ah,
the reigning National League Manager of the Year. Now, everybody knows the Marlins situation is not great. They just cleaned house of the entire front office. The GM basically fired everybody. And he had some issues coming into this season, so he might be looking to get out. But, I mean, I'd still probably take the Marlins over the White Sox gig right now.
At least you're in Miami.
At least you're in Miami.
What heap of trash smells a little bit better than the other? I don't know.
The number two option is the current interim skipper, my boy. Grady Sizemore.
Ooh, sexy, you can't claim
sexy
him.
Man.
Grady Sizemore, I got a little bit. I'm going to go on a tangent here for a little bit.
Yeah, we know you're rooting for Cleveland again.
When Grady Sizemore was in Cleveland, he was our guy. He played center field. He was a good looking dude.
Look at him.
Looked like a Mike Trout light. You know, great defense, hit for average, had a little bit of power, not Trout power, but a little bit of power, RBIs. Injuries killed him. But I loved him so much. Plus, he was offered a full ride scholarship to play quarterback at the University of Washington.
Yeah, Seattle, Washington's own.
He was offered a full ride to play QB1 at UW, and he turned him down. And anybody that turns down UW is a fan in my book.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought you were about to hit me with the Go Cougs.
No. But a Go Cougs. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. He said no to the Huskies. Yeah.
I mean, come on. Go Ducks.
So Grady Sizemore, who's probably the leading candidate in the clubhouse. He's the interim manager now. There's the wave of Rocco Baldelli, Craig Counsell, Dave Roberts, Aaron Boone, like the young guys, Skip Schumacher, of like being dudes that are not far removed from the game that are managers. There's Freddie Gonzalez, the Orioles bench coach. Ricky Weeks Jr., he's the associate manager in Milwaukee. But here's the big one.
Ricky Weeks? Wow.
Here's the big one. The White Sox are flirting.
No.
With bringing back.
Don't do it.
Uh-oh.
Television analyst.
Yes. Yes.
Don't
yes!
do it.
Ozzie Guillen.
Yes.
Don't do it.
Why
Who won
not?
A World Series in 2005 for the White Sox.
I was going to say, yeah, 20 years ago. Because last time you brought back a retread World Series winning manager, how'd that go? And listen, Ozzie Guillen, you know, I love him, but also, of course, he thinks, like, dude, give me the job. I'll fix this thing.
The article I read is because he is on their local.
Oh, he's the one that one of their TV
He's like
guys,
the local
yeah.
TV guys. The argument I read was nobody knows how bad this team is more than Ozzie Guillen.
Oh, that is, yeah. Why not? I mean, they've literally been S since he left.
As a Terrell Owens fan, like, get your popcorn ready. Like, please sign Ozzie Guillen. Please.
There's part of me that is just like, hey, he was great for us 20 years ago. Let's just bring him back. And there's something about that. I mean, it's just like.
But didn't he get fired because he was like, Reinsdorf's an idiot? And Reinsdorf was like, you're fired.
And then he got fired from Miami for tweeting very, what was it, supportive things of Fidel Castro during a game? During a game, or after he got ejected? Something. It was bad.
Classic Ozzy.
Don't let him tweet, but give him the job.
Oh, that's just Ozzy. Tweeting about Fidel Castro.
But
just, come on.
Tell me you don't want him.
I mean, I do, but also, if the White Sox want to be an actual good team, then no, don't do it.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, too. I know that list, it seems very imaginative, but there've got to be like a list of maybe more settled, less sexy names, like a Joey Cora, like, and he was in Chicago under Ozzy for so many years as bench coach, Manny Acta, current Mariners third
base coach.
Omar
Vizquel was a third base coach for them for a while.
Exactly. There's other names out there that I feel like, I mean, it would be nice to get the young, sexy guy that's had some experience in baseball, but
Or an up-and-coming offensive coordinator, for
lack of better
terms.
He hasn't been a manager in 12 years.
You know, like a bench coach.
Exactly.
He hasn't been a manager in 12 years.
Didn't stop him from Tony La Russa.
Exactly. My point exactly. Do not do this. He's going to be like, analytics? Ah, no. We don't use that here.
Nah, we ain't taking that.
Yeah. No, I don't see that going well.
What are the chances that this next hire by the White Sox, we'll get out on this because we're up against it. What are the chances that this next hire by the White Sox puts them back an extra 10 years?
They win, what, 20 games in the entire season? Have a 42-game losing streak. They double up what they did earlier this year.
Have you seen Eloy Jimenez's stats in Baltimore?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Shocking.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. Again, just like what
you should have got Luis Robert.
It's amazing what happens when you get out of Miami. It's amazing what happens when you get out of Southside Chicago.
Southside of Chicago. All right, we come back. It's everybody's favorite Fair or Foul, but first there's Schultzy with sports. This is Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite segment. There's the fan text line, Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. Question real quick that I will address. Why is Reinsdorf an idiot for firing Guillen? Does he get no credit for hiring him? Yes, he gets credit for hiring him. They won a World Series. He is not an idiot for firing him. Guillen definitely deserved to get fired as the team got really bad. But fast forward 20 years later and Reinsdorf is like, I don't know, Trump level stupid right now. Just like an old man that's lost his way. Or Biden, whichever way you go. He's just old now and doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Can I read?
He hired Tony La Russa for crying out loud.
Can I read his Fidel Castro quote? I love Fidel Castro. I respect Fidel Castro. You know why? A lot of people have wanted to kill Fidel Castro for the last 53 years, but that mofo is still here.
That mofo is still here. And he didn't say mofo.
No, he
didn't. Hey, it says here
the quote
in quotes,
is mofo?
Mofo, yeah. Oh. No, that, I am not doing that for...
That is so 2008.
I'm not doing that for FCC purposes. That is what he said.
All right, we'll move on. This is Fair or Foul. Without further ado, we'll turn it over to our fantastic producer, Schultzy.
What's going on, guys? You know, I could talk Ozzie all night. didn't he call out, like, the White Sox players for being so terrible that nobody would want them?
What he said about
a couple weeks ago.
He was like, trade deadline. Why are you getting ready to leave? Nobody wants you. I think he said nobody wants your sorry ass.
Yeah, who would want you? For real. Yeah, and I'm sure he probably called them all sorry asses.
Bunch of mofos.
Pull a Deion Sanders and just get a whole new roster if he takes over next season, right? That turnover. All right, guys, I got three Fair or Foul questions tonight, and then a little bit of a fun announcement. It's related to the show, so I wanted to let you guys know something that's happening pretty cool in my life and wanted to pass it along. But let's start off with this was so fun. I really want to try to stump you guys again with the list of may or may not have been Seattle Mariners.
We're doing this again.
Because I picked players. I tried to find players that you'd all remember, okay?
All right.
I didn't go like obscure.
Sprague's former uncle or something
exactly.
like that.
Like I've never played for any other team besides the Mariners. I really tried to find some
good
names.
Played one game in 84.
Exactly. Well, hey, this actually might be something on this list, but at least it's a name you know. Okay, guys, so fair or foul, all four of these players have spent time in a Seattle Mariners uniform. Rich Aurelia, our show's favorite pitching coach, Mike Maddox, Ricky Henderson, and Mike Sweeney. Fair or foul, all four of these players have spent time in a Seattle Mariners uniform. Rich Aurelia, Mike Maddox, Ricky Henderson, or Mike Sweeney?
Sweeney, yes. I'm pretty confident on that.
Ricky, yes. Ricky's a hard yes.
A hard yes?
I think Rich Aurelia is a hard yes as well.
What was that one? What's the fourth one we're missing there?
Oh, pitching coach Mike Maddox.
Mike Maddox.
Our boy.
Yeah, our boy.
Damn it.
Our boy Mike Maddox. That's the one I don't know. I think the other three are hard yeses. I know Ricky's a hard yes.
I'm going to say fair. Just for S and gigs. I have no leaning anywhere on this, but I'm pretty confident about Sweeney. That's the only one I am confident about.
Going against, and I am 100% confident about Ricky.
Yeah.
Going against what most people do on the other shows in this station and be the outside, I am going to agree with Joe and say fair.
Nice. You guys nailed it. Good job.
Yeah.
See, I was trying to have some fun with this. I don't want to completely stump you, and I'm the only one that's thinking of guys like Joe Beimel who pitched for the Mariners.
Nah, we ain't taking that.
He was like, what? All right, so yeah, Rich Aurelia really quickly was signed to play a one-year deal with the Seattle Mariners in 2004 after coming off of a nice season with the Giants, played absolutely horribly for them. I mean, hitting 240 back in the day, I guess today that's good, but back then it was bad.
Rich Aurelia, strong goatee.
Oh, he was...
like one of the most perfectly kept, brilliant goatees I've ever seen.
He was like very, very clean-cut lines on that hair. Mm-hmm. Actually still has that same rock and goatee, I believe.
Sure he does.
Speaking of guys on TV coverage for teams, I think Rich Aurelia handles like the post-game analyst coverage for the Giants, so people see him all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, shortstop for the Giants for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Actually ended up playing back in San Francisco to finish his career, but ended up getting traded to the Reds during that 04 season and the Padres, signed with the Reds the next year and ended up having a career resurgence. So it's like playing in Seattle sucked for him. Mike Maddux did play in Seattle. You guys were wondering about that. The 1997 season, he spent 6 games in a Seattle Mariners uniform.
It counts.
Only pitched 10 innings.
That's our boy.
10 ERA.
10 innings in 6 games. Believe, that's a lot.
I believe he got injured that year. I think that's why. He did sign with them, but was intending to play more, but just got injured. But funny one there. You remember how hard he has on Ricky Henderson. Of course, the 2000 season after getting released by the New York Mets, I think it was like May-ish, signed with the Seattle Mariners and ended up hitting a few home runs for him. Just a nice season. Ended up getting them to the wild card that year in 2000. And then finally, Mike Sweeney. That was
Kansas City Royal legend.
Mike Sweeney ended up signing a spring training invitee contract with the Mariners the year that they acquired Ken Griffey Jr. back, the first of his 2 seasons with the Mariners before he retired. And Mike Sweeney ended up hitting like .500 in spring training. Just played so well that the Mariners had to give him a job and actually extended his career a couple of years. Ended up playing, I think, hitting .280 for the Mariners and then getting traded again after making the team for them in spring training the next season. So pretty cool. Just kind of a trip down memory lane. Some names that have been popping up my head.
I saw Ricky on Reddit yesterday. That's how I knew it.
An AMA? Or just a Ricky Henderson?
Just a picture of him.
Yeah. Oh, like in a Mariners uniform?
In a Mariner uni.
Oh, damn.
I'm sorry, dude.
How do I know you're...
I'm on the front page of the internet, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's okay. It's the internet. All right. Fair or foul number 2. This is regarding a former Mariner, Ty France, on the Cincinnati Reds right now after being DFA'd by Seattle, signed with them for the league minimum, and not playing horribly, hitting .233, 3 bombs, but 10 hits so far, and 21 total bases with a couple of doubles.
I guess that isn't horrible, no.
No, it's a lot better. He hit 3 homers in, the last 10, 12 games as opposed to, 8 homers with 90 total games with the Mariners all season. So, guys, fair or foul, Ty France will turn his career around in Cincinnati with the Reds.
Foul. Washed.
Yeah, I'm not buying that a whole lot.
I repeat, foul. Washed.
Yeah, it's the last couple of years have been rough on old Ty. Hey, we just spent a segment talking about Victor Robles, resurging his career.
It's kind of what got me thinking about this.
He's done. He's done. He made an all-star game. Great career, dude. Have fun. You can tell your grandkids. Brad.
All-time leading Mariner in hits by pitches. That's something to take with
Wonderful.
You.
Wonderful.
Yeah, right? In a very short amount of time.
Wonderful.
Weird stat. All right, guys. Know how you feel about Ty France. Fair or foul number 3. The Houston Astros have been playing a hell of a lot better in the last 2 months than they did to start this season. Currently leading the AL West by a game over the Seattle Mariners. Alex Bregman helping them. He's hit 4 homers in the last 4 games.
Stupid.
Yeah, talking about Yordan Alvarez still slugging. They're doing all this without Kyle Tucker right now. Fair or foul, guys. This team will make the playoffs this season. We were saying that there really isn't a dominant team in 2024 MLB, but the Astros at this point are playing well enough, but will they regress to early season Houston at the wrong time?
I'll go first on this one. Seattle's kind of catching up a little bit in wild card, because I think for a while there it was like, if Seattle wants to make the playoffs, they got to win the division. Houston's been really hot. Bregman's it. Verlander's going to be back in a moment. Framber Valdez looks pretty solid. The bullpen outside of Presley is pretty good, which is wild because Presley was a top 5 guy a couple years ago. This team is peaking at the right point. And we talked 2 segments ago about lack of dominance. Of all the teams leading their division, the only team that's hot right now is the Houston Astros. I'll say fair. I think they make the playoffs. I'd be surprised if they make it as a wild card. I will take Houston to win the American League West right now.
I'm going to say fair as well.
That's what I had at the beginning of the season. I've stuck to my guns all year long. At the trade deadline, I feel like Mariners did make better moves.
Yeah, everybody hated the Yusei Kikuchi move.
And he's been really good.
He's been really good.
In his two starts, it's like 11 strikeouts and then 8 strikeouts.
He was okay today, but they still beat the Rays. They won.
Yeah.
They won, and he pitched solid.
Yes.
I think he only gave up one run in 5 innings.
Yeah. I'm sticking with the Astros, but you mentioned that both of these teams, because of their winning ways lately, have been gaining ground on the wild card. I thought that it was going to be like only one of these teams makes it in the playoffs. The Mariners, 2 games behind Kansas City in the wild card standings. You got to hope that the Red Sox falter off a little bit and you can leapfrog them as well. And
I believe the Red Sox will fall off.
A lot of games left to be played and a small margin for those playoff berths.
Yeah, and if there's any chance that Kyle Tucker comes back, Kyle Tucker, Bregman hitting the way he is, Alvarez, who hates baseballs so much
and
that
hates
he hits
video
them,
boards too.
And video boards, like Yordan Alvarez hates baseball more than Major League Baseball hates baseball, so he just crushes it further than anybody else. Like, if Tucker can come back, this Astros team, I hate to say it, is very scary. Especially old man Verlander.
Ooh, yeah, I forgot about Verlander.
Speaking of jugs.
Cat Daddy.
Ooh.
Cat Daddy.
I can watch that clip of Kate Upton, Justin Verlander just throwing the ball over the dugout to her all day. Like her,
you need to look at Kate Upton. Cat Daddy is what you need to do.
Not on a work computer, though.
That'll be fine.
All right, guys, and then just a quick announcement. Really, really cool. Found out this week that I'm getting the opportunity to host a Seattle Mariners podcast.
Hey!
So I'm excited. Appreciate it, man. Excited. It's a company called Believe. It's a digital media company. They've been doing a lot of team-based podcasts already for years, and excited to find out that I'm getting that opportunity. Going to try to find a former player to partner up with to do that. But really stoked to get that going here next week. So just wanted to let you guys know. I will be talking Seattle Mariners officially for somebody here very shortly. So my teal obsession will get to be poured even more into another program. So
that is amazing. We here at 1080 are extremely happy for you, and right here on the hot corner, Jordan, we support you in all this. Nobody knows Mariners like you do, and I'll speak for Joe on this. If there's anything him or I can do for you to make this thing successful, you just let us know.
Appreciate you guys. Seriously, I'll love to have you guys on. It'll be fun.
Full body paint teal. Ooh. Every show. Like Tobias from Arrested Development.
No, you should City Connect body paint. Straight blue and then legs black.
Oh, anything but their cream colored piss uniform.
You go black leg, you're getting canceled.
What about the black and red alternates they had around 2000?
The Future Connect?
Yeah, Future Connect.
The Turn Ahead the Clock?
Yeah, Turn Ahead the Clock.
Those are badass.
That's the only way you can prove yourself.
Sleeveless Schultzy. I want to see sleeveless Schultzy.
You're giving me some ideas. I like that.
All right. That is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot corner today, the fan. You know what's kind of fun? We were talking earlier about this Arizona Padres thing. You know what's kind of fun about keeping that going is that they play at the same time all the time.
Is Fernando Rodney on one of those teams by chance?
You know, I don't know.
Not right now.
But I think we need to think about this. This has been asked many times on the fan text line and the YouTube channel to bring back.
Take cover! It's a twister!
But I just, for the life of me, every time I think about it, I just don't know what it would be. What is the alert that we need?
There isn't a closer who's as cool.
But it doesn't have to be. Like, is there a moment where a team is going to blow a game? Or is there a moment when a team's going to win a game?
We need an eccentric personality out there closing games. We need a Brian Wilson.
I can't do Julio striking out because then we'll just play it all day.
Yeah, we'll go deaf.
Just 2 straight hours of just
stop.
Like, what's it gonna be? Like, you know, the Dodgers play on the West Coast. You know, do we all of a sudden I hit it and it's like letting you know,
Jake Outman up to bat.
Your children are safe, but Shohei Ohtani has hit a 475-foot home run in Chavez Ravine.
Everybody,
you know, like it can be whatever we want.
don't know. I felt like it was
check
just
your windshields
because of Fernando Rodney. How unique
it was! So
he
beautiful.
Was,
it was so beautiful.
How different he was.
Shout out Voldemort.
It needs to be. It needs to be someone that is of equal personality. Like that is again a great player, great closer. Someone that is just. I feel like closers, man. They just have a different feel to them, different vibe.
I mean,
it's
I mean,
just like they can be like I mentioned Brian Wilson. You know, like dear God, that dude made a name for himself purely based off of his personality. Yes, he was good.
The beard.
Yeah, but because of who he was and being eccentric, that is why he got a lot of the notoriety he did.
So,
Gagne with the glasses.
Starting a game gives you some serious adrenaline, right? You're ready to go. You're ready to go. It's Tyler Glasnow, Blake Snell, Dodgers, Giants, Chavez Ravine, Sunday Night Baseball. Your adrenaline is pumping.
The hell,
all right?
Hype, yeah.
But if it's Sunday Night Baseball, Dodgers, Giants, and it's 2-1 in the ninth, and you're the closer coming in, that's adrenaline, yes. But that's also like, ooh, that's pressure.
Yeah.
Along with adrenaline. Because you can have a bad first inning. You know, if Glasnow gets up there and, you know, who's that kid, Fitzgerald, for the Giants that's been hitting really well? Say he tags you for a home run. You're like, okay, all right, I'll calm down, slow down. And then he can throw seven more with 8 Ks and no more runs and a walk. And then you're fine. But as a closer, the pressure's all there.
I know. And that's why you need someone that comes out of the bullpen and is just waving his arms, getting the crowd pumped. You know, maybe he's doing some degeneration.
The John Rocker.
Some Degeneration X suckets on his way to the mound.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
Dude, now that I think about it, how great would it be if a closer came out to the DX music? Are you ready?
Are you ready?
That would be awesome. That would be so great.
Yeah, why does anybody come out with like, if you smell
what the Rock is cooking?
The right? Rock says, know your damn role. That'd be great. We gotta have DX in the system, I'm sure.
Right? Like how,
break it down.
Like, how is there not somebody that has the nickname of The Rock or something like that? Like, oh, this guy's got ice in his veins. He's stone cold, and then
or like Kane, like when he comes out of the bullpen, just fire blasts from the outfield wall or something like that.
Yeah.
What the hell is the meaning of this?
You know, like how do we not have this?
Or even better, the whole place goes dark. They shut off all the lights. And when they turn the lights back on, he's on the mound. Like Undertaker, just in the middle of the ring.
Second, third, first, and home. Fire shoots up, and he's on the ring.
Dude, let's go.
My God, that must be Kane. It's Kane.
Again, you have to be.
Why? Someone tell me why, damn it.
You would have to be very, very good to do that. But still, there's got to be a closer that leans into it sometime in the near future.
Well,
because
I think
we've been missing one with a personality for a while.
Well, I think what's interesting is Mo has Sandman, right? Hoffman had Hell's Bells. We got Sugar with.
And he has personality.
Yeah, he has personality.
When he was, remember, he was with the Mariners, Scott Service shaved his head in Edwin Diaz's style after, what was like, 60 games that he saved or something like that?
Yeah, I'm surprised, especially when Sugar Diaz, who is not Mo Rivera or
Sugar DX,
who is not Mo Rivera or Trevor Hoffman, who are both Hall of Famers, once Sugar Diaz had an entrance song that was as epic as his is, I'm shocked it didn't spread like wildfire. Like, look, we live in a TikTok world. Who doesn't want an entrance music?
I think that getting a wrestling song, that would be fantastic.
Like, if I was Antonio Gates, all right? So Antonio Gates, is he a current or future Hall of Famer? Is he a current Hall of Famer for the NFL?
Who, sorry?
Antonio Gates?
Yeah, I think so.
If current
not,
or about to be?
If not, will be.
Yeah, so, like, Antonio Gates.
Gosh.
Antonio Gates played for Kent State basketball and football. Like, what if his entrance music in a football game was.
That's hot.
You know, because he's a former basketball player. Like, how do we not have this going on?
Yeah, I feel like with a closer, since you have entrance music, like, what also is synonymous with entrance music? Wrestling.
oh, okay. Yeah, wrestling's good.
I mean it's everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
You have to have that that music that imposes fear, excitement in the fan base. And, yeah, I feel like if you threw it back to some nostalgia, Attitude Era, some song. I mean, the glass break of Stone Cold.
Dude, the bell of The Undertaker.
Imagine bringing this back, guys.
And all the...
Somebody as a closer walks into this.
Zombie Nation. Yeah. I feel like they do that at 85% of minor league stadiums already.
Can we get some Sandstorm? Someone walks into Sandstorm.
Or some Duhast.
Duhast.
Do we not have... We got to have Ramstein in the system.
I'm sure it's all in the system, but I can't look that up.
Duhast.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
Yeah, that's what this segment sounds like. Yeah. I mean, like, I know guys have different songs they walk into the plate with, but that's like 20 seconds. But, I mean, if it's like the playoffs and you dim all the lights and then you just bring up some purple lights and it goes... Dong.
And that's what I'm saying. Undertaker, and he just appears at the mound.
It'd like be
you,
insane.
You don't even see him walk up.
Yeah.
You just, or he comes out with some guy that looks like Paul Bearer and they walk down the lineup.
He comes out
with
a hood. Yeah. With like a cape, a robe on, yes. And the hood is over him, and he walks slowly.
And does the eyes rolling back in his head.
And then again, he lifts up his hands at the pitcher mound and then brings them down and all the bases catch on fire.
Rest in pitch.
I swear to God, that'll stop your heart.
Dude, I think we just created. I am going to be training to become an MLB closer so I can get to this point someday. Because I don't know. Maybe I just start sending some letters to all the closers in MLB going in their DMs and being like, Dude, you got to do this.
All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week. Catch you up on whatever the hell is going on in baseball as we come down to crunch time. Like I said, I'll be on Dirt and Sprague on Thursday, so tune into that. For Joe Fisher, I'm Patrick Harris. Schultzy on the ones and twos. Go do something I would do.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.